Kate Ransom, thank you so much for joining me.
It's my pleasure. Thank you, Kelly.
So we found out recently that the music school was getting a $10 million donation from a trust established by Mary Ellen Northrup. What was your first reaction when you heard this news?
Like everyone here at the school, I was stunned and thrilled and grateful.
Mary Ellen Northrup, she has a musical background. Tell us more about her, though. Did you ever get to meet her?
I never got to meet Mary Ellen Northrup face to face, but we did have an ongoing exchange via the postal service and also email. And I never even spoke to her on the phone, but members of the staff here did. So we had a sort of an arm's length relationship that started in 2013. I would say, though, that I felt that I got somewhat acquainted with her because through her process of developing this endowment fund and the scholarship fund, she revealed the things that she cared about and her way of going about doing things. It was clear that she was highly intelligent, highly educated, very exacting and meticulous, and had some strong ideas about what she wanted to achieve and how she wanted to do that.
Why did she care about music so much? Do you know?
Well, I can only guess at that from what I've now read about her and from what she shared with us through our dealings with her. Music was central in her own life. She was a very reclusive person. She was not a highly social person. She loved singing in church choirs, her church choirs, and also she played the clarinet. So I can only just conjecture that someone who was quite private and solitary took great satisfaction in her own life from the joy and benefit that she found from her music experiences. And I also think she probably recognized the connection between music study for any young child, for example, and their whole learning process and their success in life.
There's a couple of things, questions I have about this. The $10 million gift, of course, is the school's largest ever. It establishes the Mary Ellen Northrup Endowed Fund for Music Education, and it's going to provide scholarships to qualifying students in public, private, or parochial schools. Mary Ellen Northrup, Kate, left charter schools out of this. Do we know why?
No, we don't have any window on why she excluded charter schools.
All right. And the scholarships, we know, are for children from preschool to grade 12, so it covers the whole gamut and can cover tuition and instrument purchase or rental for all instrument and voice lessons. Again, here we are with an exception for guitar instruction. Do we know why she left out guitars?
We don't know that either, but I think there's inherent in the way she's structured the entire requirements of the trust. There is the call to action on the part of others who would like to support scholarships for guitar students or charter school students, or after the limit of 2 years, which is the maximum that any individual student can receive grants from this scholarship fund.
That would be fantastic if this gift spurs others to step up to the plate. Kate, could you ever imagine that this would happen in your lifetime, this gift, this large?
I never imagined it, no. I think it's just so extraordinary. It would be a significant gift for any institution, anywhere. But for the Music School of Delaware, it's truly transformational and extraordinary.
Now, the Music School's Board of Directors Treasurer Larry Hammermesh said during the press conference recently that Music School staff would be spending the next several months encouraging people to apply for the scholarships. What did he mean by that? Will you be going out in the community? How will this work?
Well, first of all, the media, and thank you, have been tremendously helpful in covering the story because it's not going to be a useful fund unless people know about it. So we are very anxious to get the word out far and wide. There is no geographic restriction on the gift. So residents of the entire state of Delaware and the other regions that we serve, and frankly, the virtual universe out there that does tap in now to music school programs, all could be eligible to benefit from this fund. So there's a lot for us still to work out. We do have the application forms in process, and we expect to roll them out this spring and to be able to start awarding grants for study in the fall of 2022.
This is going to be so fantastic. Tate, by other regions, do you mean surrounding states, Jersey, Pennsylvania, Maryland?
Correct. We draw students from all those areas, even from Philadelphia, for some of our programs because we do some things that other places don't do, even in Philadelphia. For example, our Suzuki Academy is one of the most reputable Suzuki programs, which is a methodology for studying string instruments. It's one of the most reputable and recognized programs in the Northeast Corridor.
How many students do you serve on a yearly basis?
Our enrollment can vary a lot, of course, but it ranges around 2,500 per year. And then we have thousands of people who turn out for over 100 public performances that the school presents each year.
Kate, I wanted to talk to you. This is all great news about this $10 million gift, but I also wanted to talk to you about COVID. We're going on 2 years now of the pandemic. Take me back to when all of this started. Did you make any drastic changes at the Music School of Delaware?
Well, I think the pandemic has drastically changed the way everybody does everything about their daily life and the way that organizations function. So, yes, in March 2020, when we were required to shut down for a while, we had to pivot quickly, start to work our administrative team remotely, which we had never done before and had no setup to do, and also to encourage our faculty to make that transition as well and start to do virtual instruction. And most of them had never done it before. Within 2 weeks of the shutdown, we had made that pivot rather extraordinarily and more effectively than I would have ever thought we could have. We turned this rather large boat around, and but we were guided by the prevailing concept, idea, philosophy that we would what we could with what we had. And that meant continuing to stay engaged with people and deliver music experiences that were meaningful to them through whatever means we could.
Was enrollment affected at all?
Oh, yes, certainly. Enrollment was affected, but not as we would have expected. Also, the rebound has been tremendous. And there were some surprises as well in the private lesson study over the period that has ensued since March 2020. Some of our enrollment, including private lessons, showed an uptick. We innovated a lot, and we created some virtual programming. For example, we created what we call the Private Lesson Six-Pack, which was a short duration, six 30-minute lessons, so you don't have to commit for a whole 18-week semester, a private lesson six-pack that was modestly priced to give people a sample of what it was like to engage with our teachers and study music. And because people were all sheltered at home and looking for meaningful things to do, we saw an amazing response, and our private lesson enrollment actually increased rather significantly.
Running this fabulous business, working with these children throughout a pandemic, what have you learned?
I think I've learned, first of all, that the mantra that I've heard through my administrative years that you should always work from your mission, that is really true. If you are solidly fulfilling your mission in the services and programs that you provide, and if you are unified from your board to your teachers to your administrative staff and clear about what it is your purpose to accomplish, then it serves as a guiding light when you have to go into crisis mode. And so we didn't waste any time hemming and hawing or wondering, should we or shouldn't we? We were very unified that we should continue to deliver music education, that we should continue to employ all of our teachers and all of our staff, and stand by what we do, stand by our mission.
I think unification is the key word here throughout this entire pandemic. Looking back, would you do anything differently?
Well, you know, probably always there's something looking back that one would do differently. But I think we have done a remarkable job. And quite frankly, we have not had a minute to look back. We are still in the pandemic and still in our rebound mode. And we're also recognizing that glorious and wonderful things can happen even in a time of crisis, like this amazing endowment fund that has been entrusted to the school.